Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is.
The 8 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dono Show. We're here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com on the computer. Tune in radio app or radio.com app on the smartphone. And hey, we've talked a lot of Dolphins and Canes tonight, and that's going to continue for the next 2 hours. Miami Dolphins held day six of training camp today on the phone to talk about it on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Omar Kelly. By the way, Omar's going to be filling in for me tomorrow, 6 to 10, because I'll be on with Crowder 2 to 6. So you'll get me and Crowder followed by Omar. Pretty solid lineup, I think. Omar, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good. How are you? I just finished my workout, about to have dinner, go to bed early so I can be available for camp so I can sharp and ready.
Yeah, and Omar, you know, I made my camp debut today. But, you know, I guess I missed the best one so far. I wasn't out there on Monday. I was in for the Big O when they had that that full contact practice. And I see a lot of fans trying to second guess that based on what happened to Jay Ajayi. But I mean, the Dolphins have no regrets for that, right?
No regrets. In fact, Adam Gase provided a piece of information that a lot of us didn't know, which was when Jay Ajayi got hurt, it wasn't even a live period.
Right.
T.J. McDonald just thudded him up. He didn't take him to the ground. I was busy tweeting, so I actually did not see the actual play. I just heard it and looked up, and when I heard it, I was like, whoa, that's not normal. So I didn't know it wasn't even a tackle. But that could have happened. What happened to Jay Ajayi could have happened any single day at practice because it wasn't even a live session. It was just a regular period of practice. And so let's end that discussion right there. However, I will make the point to you that I've always been bothered and wondered and curious about the fact that, you know, why I've covered the Dolphins for a decade, mm-hmm. This is my 11th season. I have never seen a live period in practice in 11 years, in 10 years. That's a decade where, and remember, when I was an intern with Jimmy Johnson, you went live like twice a day.
Yeah.
They had 2-a-days. So I grew up, and you know, I covered Florida State in Miami. I saw live periods. When I got to the NFL, never saw a live period. Never saw a live period. And I'm like, why don't they go live? Why don't they hit? And that always bothered me. Then when I went to Tampa last year to go visit with the Grimes, and I watched practice just as a fan, it bothered me that Tampa Bay had live periods. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? So it's not the entire NFL that doesn't do live. It's just the Dolphins. So that was an awakening for me. I made an issue of it last year. And I always wondered, if you did live practices, would your run game be better? And would your tackling be better? Those are two issues, in my opinion, two of the four issues that the Dolphins definitely need to address to become a better team. So it does make sense to have live periods in practice. And Adam Gase said, we're going to continue to do it because we need to get better in those areas. If you're not good at something, and it's clear they're not good at stopping the run, they're not good at tackling, and they're inconsistent running the football, the best way to do it is to actually practice.
Yeah, and Omar Gase did admit this week, I think Monday and a little bit today, that you know, maybe one of the reasons why the tackling was so poor last year, especially the first month of the regular season, was they didn't go live enough or at all in practice.
Yeah. No. He said that it was refreshing to hear. I mean, the only way you're going to get good at something is to practice, do it over and over again. People shy away from tackling during practice, and I get them. There's no reason you should tackle a wide receiver. So we're not talking about tackling for everybody, and there's no reason that an offensive lineman should go to the ground. But you have pads on for a reason. Football is a contact sport. Why do you think it's only okay that you actually have the contact on Sundays and not expected to be sloppy. It just puzzles me. So this is a step in the right direction, in my opinion. And injury or not, injuries are going to happen. If you practice and perform to not get hurt, the only thing that guarantees is that you're going to get hurt.
You know, it was confirmed today, Omar, that Jay Ajayi is in the concussion protocol. But do we know anything beyond that? Like, do we have an expectation as to how many days or weeks this is going to cost him?
The fastest guy coming off the concussion protocol I've seen is Mario Williams last year, 4 days. The longest guy that I've seen taken to come off the concussion protocol was Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, I was about to say Jordan Cameron is still in the concussion protocol.
It ended his career. Well, Well, we knew he had concussion issues coming in, so and he was always sensitive to it. So what I've learned over the years is when you had one concussion, you're prone to have more concussions. And Jordan Cameron's case, he'd had three concussions, so he it takes him a while to get back from the concussion state. And concussions are no joke. I've only had one concussion in my life, and it was not fun. It was not an experience that I would like to do again. Sensitivity to light. If you've ever had a migraine, put that on steroids, and then you'd understand what a concussion is. So this people have to be very cautious, and the NFL is indeed being very cautious when the word concussions come out, because if you look at it, people are dying and killing themselves because of CTE. People have dementia. People have early Alzheimer's. There's a lot of things that are going on with the brain caused by football that we don't have a full understanding of, and the last thing you want to do is just poo-poo it because you need your running back on the field. Truth be told, Jay Ajayi probably doesn't need to play in any exhibition game except for maybe exhibition game 3. And, you know, he's got time for that.
Should the Dolphins be addressing running back with a veteran? Should they be treading the tires on a D'Angelo Williams type?
No, not at all. I like the top three backs. Kenyon Drake has been very impressive. And as we know, I'm a Damian Williams fan. I'm not really liking what I see from Damian Williams in practice right now, but I expect him to turn it up in the coming days. And then Storm Johnson, the former University of Miami UCF standout, he's doing quite well. Very impressive. I like what I see on all regards. I think maybe pass blocking, he needs a little bit of work, but very talented, gets to the second level. When he gets to the second level, he's hard to catch. I like what they have at running back. You realistically only need four. And I think Storm Johnson is capable. Four and one practice squad, you're good. I mean, what's the point? Keep in mind that when we sit here and we talk about the Dolphins, if it doesn't pay off in 2018, why do it in 2017?
Mm-hmm.
That should be your mindset. So why would you add D'Angelo Williams? Is he going to be around in 2018?
No.
Oh, so why do it?
Just for depth, I guess, just to add maybe leadership or add a guy who can play if Ajayi is not right for the full season. I'm not arguing with you. I'm playing devil's advocate.
If Ajayi goes down and is done for the season, then definitely bust that thing wide open on D'Angelo Williams. But Dolphins are good, man. I like depth at running back. I like depth at running back more than I like depth at receiver. Let's just put it that way. You've got three top-shelf receivers and then mystery meat after that. At running back, I got three guys who can start, and I'm good with that.
And, Omar, what about Jakeem Grant? I mean, we'd heard so much during the summer that,
talk about Jakeem Grant.
Well, hold on. Let me make a quick point on that, because all throughout the summer we heard, he's flown Matt Dar out to Texas. He's catching punts 24 hours a day. And then I see Jakeem Grant out there, Omar. He's still struggling catching punts, and he's struggling catching passes. Is there any hope for this guy?
I'm trying to word myself properly because
I understand
I'm picking on him.
Yeah.
Fundamental. This is my whole stance on Jakeem Grant. And I've had this discussion with everybody in the world. It's not that I don't like the kid. He's got a little spunky little spirit. He believes in himself. He's beaten the odds by already making it to the NFL at 5'6", 170 pounds. Fast as you know what. Number one job as a receiver is to do what, Alex Donnell?
Catch passes.
Catch passes. if you struggle to catch passes, are quarterbacks going to be prone to throw you the ball?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Okay. So, we already know he struggles at catching passes. Okay, well, we can move him down the depth chart as a receiver because we got this special, we got this return specialist that he can do. Great return specialist when he catches the passes. How consistent when he catches the punts and the kickoffs? How consistent is he at catching the punts and the kickoffs?
Not at all.
Not very good at it, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, we can say that year one, it's the first time returning punts. It's a challenge for him. He flew far out. He's done everything that he can to get better, but he's still dropping punts and kickoffs. So my question at this point, there are two issues that I've identified as the issues. Number one, when his confidence gets rocked, even though he's a confident kid, it takes him a while to get out of that funk. He knows we're watching. He knows when he drops a punt, it's a big deal to all of us. Is it not?
Yes.
Literally, they take us off the field at the final special teams period so that we don't watch him fielding punts.
I noticed that.
I stay behind because I need to watch him fielding punts. So he's done everything that he could possibly do to get better. He's not getting better. And I suspect if the confidence, when he drops one, it just snowballs from there. Adam Gase has already talked about he's got to remain confident. And to me, when I watch him struggle catching passes, he fights every pass. And the reason he fights every pass, as I suspect, is that his hands are too small. And a lot of people have these theories about whether the NFL ball is bigger than the college ball. I know in my mind, even though they give you all these dimensions, I can throw a college football 40 yards. I can barely throw an NFL ball 20 yards. There's a difference in my mind. I don't know if it's wider. I don't know if it's harder. But there's a difference. I don't know if Jakeem Grant's hands are big enough to be an NFL wide receiver. The last guy that had a hand issue that I realized was Pat White. And
even though he
denied it when he was playing, after he finished playing, he admitted to me, yeah, man, I couldn't do it. My hands were too small. And that's just the reality.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. You know, Omar, a big theme the last few days has been Tannehill getting fired up, Tannehill giving pep talks to teammates, Tannehill's leadership. Now, are his teammates embracing that leadership as much as the media is embracing it right now?
Absolutely.
Good.
This is Tannehill's team. Adam Gase has made it clear to everybody, including the media and the team, this is his team. Tannehill will have to probably lose a kidney for him to not be the starting quarterback. You already saw them try to play him with on one knee last year at the end of the year. They believe in Tannehill. Not the team does now, but the coaches believe in Tannehill. You're not having any other options. So whether you accept him or not, and a year of comfort in the offense is great. He's by far the most intelligent guy about Gase's offense. He has full controls. He can call the shots. He can change plays. Tannehill's the man. You want to eat, he's going to feed you. So, of course, you got to buy in. You have no choice.
Jarvis Landry, Omar, where is this going? Do you think it ends up being something that they don't address until after the season is over, or do you think they're really going to get moving on this extension?
Dolphins don't seem motivated. Jarvis is a headstrong, very determined young man. He deals with his business just like he plays football. I'm sure they'll make an offer at some point. I'm sure it'll be 60-70, maybe 80%, the 80 cents on the dollar. I don't expect the deal to get done. I expect Jarvis to be franchised next year, and we'll play it from there.
Going back to the defense, Omar, Rashad Jones made his training camp debut today, and I was happy to see he had no restrictions, wasn't taking any plays off. He was out there 100%, and he made some good, quote-unquote tackles today, Omar. He stuffed Damian Williams in the backfield. How did
yes,
he look
did.
To you?
He did take some 11-on-11 periods off. He only did maybe two. But no shame. I'm not. I really, if I was Rashad Jones, I would have probably sat this one out as well.
Yeah.
This week out as well. You know, I'm scared of calf injuries because of what's happened with Earl Mitchell, where a calf, not that he was good to begin with, but a calf just really just ate away at his season. And the last thing you want is Rashad to re-aggravate it. And last I checked, a safety runs far more than a defensive tackle.
Fair.
So that makes me a little bit worried, makes me feel troublesome. And even Adam Gase basically said, he's said to Rashad, if I let you practice, you got to be absolutely honest with me about what's going on with the calf and not push it, not deny it, not say fight through it. If it's tightening up, shut it down. And I don't believe Rashad can do that. I would not be practicing Rashad if I were him. Rashad's too valuable a player. Rashad probably wouldn't practice. The important guys, especially if they're fighting something or Cam Wake, like Cam Wake would practice maybe three times a week in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like Cam practice is hard to begin with. But one, why risk injury? And two, he's 34. Like, they've only got so much mileage in their body. So I'm all on board on the Pouncey plan. I'm not on board of Rashad Jones practicing this week. But, you know, hey, Adam Gase calls the shots, and hopefully he's right.
Yeah, a lot of fans, Omar, texting in. They want your progress report on Raekwon McMillan, the rookie linebacker.
A lot better than I expected him to be doing. His head was swimming, and he was not processing very fast during OTAs. Pads came on. He's getting faster every single day. He is your clear-cut starter. They're continuing to invest plays into him to get him ready and going and greased up. And even the veterans, Kiko and Lawrence, they're making him call plays when he's in there. So no doubt in my mind that he's the starter. I think he'll probably be better in the second half of the season than he will be in the first.
Now, going to the defensive line, I saw Vincent Taylor, the rookie D tackle, look pretty good today. Do you see like those guys pushing Jordan Phillips at all? What do you think the resolution is going to be at that other D tackle spot?
Jordan Phillips is your starter. Jordan Phillips is going to get a chance to sink or swim. Hopefully Jordan Phillips is going to be able to play 30 good snaps of football a game. Those young guys are just fighting for that number three spot. Sue got a day off, so Davin Godchild basically was working with the starters, and he had a couple of good plays.
Mm-hmm.
You're just getting both of those guys ready to play, and maybe one surfaces as a playmaker when they enter that defensive tackle rotation. I think it's going to be a week-to-week basis. Whoever practices the best is the guy who's going to play. I expect Vincent Taylor to be active every Sunday because he's a special teams guy. So we'll see who eventually plays the best in the exhibition season, and I'm sure that's how the coaches will judge it.
Great stuff here as always. Omar Kelly covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel and, of course, part of the QAM family as well. Omar's going to be in my slot tomorrow night, so make sure you tune
in. Hardest shift on radio.
Ah, that's right. He put some respect on it. The way that we put some respect on Damian Williams a few weeks back, you put some respect on the time slot.
Hardest shift. I've done them all. You've got the hardest shift on radio, bro. Don't ever let anybody tell you anything different.
I just love the appreciation. So I'm going to be just relaxing in the afternoon tomorrow, Omar. I'll let you worry about 6 to 10 tomorrow night, but I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, see you tomorrow, man.
Good stuff there. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly. And, again, check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel and sunsentinel.com. The Alex Donov Show continues. I will have an FIU football update. Just because I want the FIU troll to stop complaining. I just want, am I giving in? Should I even be doing this? But I don't know, though, because, okay, it's not like I should never bring up FIU. And I'm not going to spend the whole segment on it because I don't want people to tune out when they hear. I'm going to give you a quick FIU update because the FIU troll keeps hounding me to talk about this five-star FIU recruit.
And you're giving in.
No.
Yes, you're giving in. You're giving him quality time. Are you doing this?
No, just trust the process. I will set the record straight on that five-star recruit next.
Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in.
At 8:45, I'll have my top three list. Top three jerseys in my childhood closet. I've got a closet full of throwback football jerseys, some pretty nice soccer jerseys. Although some of the soccer jerseys, again, this is my childhood closet, the one that's at my parents' house. Thank God my parents preserve my childhood bedroom like Ray Finkel's. Like they don't, like it's like a shrine, like a museum for me. So all of my old childhood clothes are still there in the closet. Action figures, everything. I've got like a WWE ring, like an action figure WWF ring in there. And I've got all my old jerseys. So some of them would fit me still to this day. Others are, you know, like child size Inter Milan jerseys from when I was a kid. But I will rank for you my top three jerseys in my old collection a little bit later on today. So I keep getting hounded by the FIU troll about this five-star recruit for Florida International University. I got to give him a little bit of credit here. So Taylen Humphrey is this five-star future junior college transfer, junior college guy. I guess you're not a transfer if you're a JUCO guy. Defensive tackle, who is reportedly maybe kind of considering FIU. So I'll give him credit for that, right? So apparently he's favoring Oklahoma State would be his top team. But there is some debate as to who the other team in his top two. Taylen Humphrey is the player's name. 24/7 prognosticators predict Arkansas, while others believe maybe it's Texas A&M. But based on Taylen's recent tweet, you have to think FIU is in the mix. All right. So you're telling me there's a chance that FIU is in the mix, considering it's the only other D1 program to offer his brother John. Plus, John has kept the offer from the Panthers pinned to the top of his Twitter feed. So maybe that will also land Taylen Humphrey in the future. All right, so there it is. There's your FIU football update. I will give the FIU troll that much credit that they're at least in the mix for Taylen Humphrey. And University of Miami is not. So there you go. FIU beat us on something, finally. They may have beaten us in that savage fight that we had a few years ago, but I think that one is still up for debate. Oh, my God. 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell phone, or you can text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. You know, I talked about this a little bit with Omar, that there have been a lot of positive things so far out of Miami Dolphins training camp. Devontae Parker has played pretty very well. The quarterbacks, well, specifically Ryan Tannehill and Matt Moore, to his credit, have looked good in training camp so far. And Raekwon McMillan, the young rookie linebacker, has looked pretty good. But one of the things that stands out as concerning is you're still seeing the same issues for Jakeem Grant. That Jakeem Grant is still struggling to catch passes, and he's still struggling to catch punts. So it's like, okay, we're going to go down the same roller coaster that we went down a year ago. He ends up sticking to the roster as the fifth receiver, and they're going to force him back there returning punts, and he's going to drop them and be a liability. We'll get to some guys. Here's Adam Gase talking about his fumbles in practice on Sunday.
To learn from when he puts the ball on the ground and do everything he can not to let it happen again and not get hung up on a drop punt. Like, if you sit there and dwell over it, oh, I can't believe it. Like, move on to the next one. Learn from it. And that's why we're doing this. I mean, he's not the first guy to ever drop a punt. And the thing, like last year when he had one in a game, the defense picked us up. We got a pick two plays later. And that's what your teammates are for. If somebody has a mistake, somebody else picks them up. And that's my biggest thing with him is move on to the next one. He's effective for us. We know he can hit the home run. We just need him to just keep working on, you know, being consistent.
Well, the thing is, like, you're so far from consistency with that guy right now.
And Alex, this was on Sunday, and we're already on Wednesday, and he continues to have the same problem. That's not good.
Yeah, he's had two more practices. They had Tuesday off, but he's had Monday and Wednesday, and he's still having the same problems back there. It's worrisome. And I wonder if, I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert on on what this guy's bringing to the table. But, you know, Omar, and this is something I'm going to look at, believe me. When I'm at practice tomorrow morning and I'm within within visible distance from Jakeem Grant, you better believe I'm looking at those hands, right? Because Omar brought this up. Maybe if you can, for the 9 o'clock hour, get that soundbite ready, or we'll probably replay the Omar interview later. But Omar said that, you know, he, in his humble opinion, Jakeem Grant's hands are too small to play in the NFL. And that was a similar problem that Pat White had when he was a Miami Dolphin, and he gave the NFL career a go. And Pat White admitted years later, yeah, I didn't admit it to you then, but yeah, my hands were too small to play the game at a high level. I wonder, I'm going to look closely at Jakeem from now on. We know he's small in stature, 5'6", 175, 165 pounds. So like Omar mentioned, just the fact that he's made it this far, that he made it to the NFL and was drafted for somebody of that size is already a miracle. But if he wants to become a contributor on this football team, Adam Gase hit the nail on the head. You've got to see the consistency, and you're not seeing it so far. Oh, man, on that fight, Miami versus FIU, what was that, 07, 06 when they had that brawl? FIU whooped some ass in that fight. Y'all discounted the rivalry, not us. That was a lame FIU update. I told you, they're in the mix for Taylen Humphrey. And by the way, all this talk about the FIU troll, I'm now hearing from the Cleveland troll, Jamba. I think he's getting jealous. Like, that's my whack pack, the Cleveland troll and the FIU troll. And I think the Cleveland troll is getting upset that the FIU troll is getting so much airtime. Like, he's asking me, am I there? The Heat suck. He wants to know what the Cavs are doing. I'll tell you what the Cavs are doing. Cavs are losing Kyrie Irving. That's what they're doing. Nobody wants to play with LeBron. I'd mention during the soccer update with Neymar heading to PSG, because Neymar wants to be the man. Neymar doesn't want to be riding shotgun to Lionel Messi. Neymar wants to be the number one. Neymar wants to be the guy to bring the French Renaissance of soccer. Neymar wants to be the man on that team, PSG, rather than be... Neymar doesn't care about Barcelona. Neymar wants to be the man in Paris. I've never been to Barcelona. I've been to Paris. Paris is a pretty incredible city. Barcelona, a great city, but probably not Paris, right? They don't have an Eiffel Tower there in Paris.
They don't have good wine.
Yeah, well, that's true. So they have great paella, though. So I mentioned that Neymar is like the antithesis of an NBA player, because all the NBA players are coming together to join forces. Neymar wants to be his own man. Maybe Kyrie Irving is the Neymar of basketball. Kyrie wants to break away from LeBron to be his own man. So I doubt Cleveland is going to keep that guy. I don't know how you put that toothpaste back in the tube. He's not answering phone calls from anybody in that organization. He and LeBron dislike each other. LeBron's people told Stephen A. Smith that the next time he sees Kyrie, he's going to be tempted to punch him in the face. A lot of animosity there. I don't see that working for Kyrie in Cleveland. As long as the Cavs can get a decent return on that guy. And eventually, I think they'll get desperate. And maybe that's when Pat Riley pounces. Pat Riley right now, for that Kyrie trade, Pat Riley is me in college, hanging out at the end of the bar, waiting for the decent-looking women to strike out enough times that I start to look good to them. 3 a.m., 4 a.m., last call. Haven't gone home with anybody else. There's Dono. Dono at the end of the bar. I'm willing to take you home. That's what Pat Riley is here, because you don't have the first-round picks. You're not willing, potentially, to part ways with Whiteside or Bam Adebayo. You want Cleveland to get desperate enough to take scraps, right? That's when the women go home with me. That's what Pat Riley is waiting for at the end of that bar, because he doesn't have the first-round picks like Boston has. He doesn't have the pieces that Minnesota would have to trade for Kyrie Irving. But Pat Riley is waiting. And eventually, if Cleveland strikes out enough times, they get desperate enough, it may come down to that. 56022 on the Plumbers 911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. Well, I guess while people are piling on the University of Miami, we get this from the Florida State fans. All this football talk, texter writes, has reminded me that it's been 2,885 days.
Don't say it.
Since UM beat Florida State. God. Ja'Cory Harris. Randy Shannon. Two of the principal players the last time.
Colin McCarthy. Game-saving play in the end zone.
Wasn't that the year before?
No, that was that year.
Oh, okay.
That was Monday night game.
That was so drunk. I don't remember.
Leonard Hankerson caught the first touchdown.
Yeah, that I do remember. 2009. You know, some people have said that the U will be back if they beat Florida State. That has to be part of the body of work. I'm not going to say the U is back just because they beat Florida State. Don't get me wrong. I will throw a parade. I will bang pots and pans down Cayocho or Southwest 152nd Street or wherever. I will bang pots and pans if Miami beats Florida State on September 16th, if they can break that seven-year itch of losing to the Seminoles. But I'm not going to say the U is back unless they parlay that, because you would assume if they beat Florida State, they're 3-0, and they've just won their toughest game of the season. If they beat Florida State, they are well on their way to winning the Coastal and winning an ACC championship. Because think about it. Florida State is the odds-on favorite to win the ACC this year. You know, Clemson, kind of like Miami, doesn't have a quarterback. Clemson's expected to be slightly down from where they were last year when they won a national championship. Most of the experts are picking Florida State to win the ACC even over Clemson. Miami beat Florida State in the regular season. You know, they either rematch Florida State or play Clemson in the ACC championship game. You'd be sitting pretty there. But I want to make sure you beat Florida State. You parlay that into something special, right? If you beat Florida State and you go 8-4, I'm not excited about that. So I'm not going to say that U is back just by beating Florida State. That's got to be the start of something amazing. Oh, my God. Here he is. Cleveland troll, Jamba. What's up, man?
Alex, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. What's up, man? Dude, I had some amazing sushi over there, sir. You'd be jealous.
I don't like sushi. It's cat food, man. Cat food.
Cat food. Well, you know what? My cat probably would love sushi, so you're right about that.
But anyway, I just want to let you know what? Tyree can go. He's a little baby. We don't need him. We'll be just fine without him. Whoever we can get for him will be an upgrade. He can go. He's just a little baby like KD over at where the Golden State girls play over the Golden Gate Bridge over there. Wow. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I just wanted to call in and just say the Heat still suck. I'm going up to Tampa next week to see the American League champions play. I'll be calling in from the game. And tomorrow I'm going to go to Disney World, so you can see me on Facebook Live while I'm out there.
Good for you. I appreciate the call. So, man, what am I going to be doing tomorrow? I'm going to Dolphins training camp. I'm doing Hockman and Crowder tomorrow. I'm in for Hawk. I'm going to be on the air with Crowder 2 to 6. Got a busy, busy day planned tomorrow. Will I carve out time to watch Jamba on Facebook Live from Disney World? I will be doing anything but. Unless he's riding Everest. That's pretty cool. I haven't been to Pandora yet, the Avatar world.
When are we going?
A couple weeks, actually.
Am I invited?
Of course you're invited.
Is your wife going to be okay?
She's never okay.
I mean, I'll go and take my car there, but then, hey, I'm an annual pass holder and I haven't gone in months.
We're going to Pandora.
Let's do it.
Bitches, we're riding the boat.
We'll be on 560 live cam.
I'm down with that. We're going to Pandora. Manny Chang and I are planning a vacation right now. Oh, man. I want to play some Adam Gase audio on the other side. Plus, I got my top three jerseys in my childhood closet in honor of the strange individual I saw wearing a number 13 Dolphins jersey with his own last name customized on the back. Very strange. The Alex Dono Show continues here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader, 25 years and counting. Miami Sports Radio It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's Top 3 on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
So I've had jerseys on the brain today. I'm out at Dolphins training camp earlier this morning. And let me first say I was thrilled by the fan turnout. I don't know how many people the grandstands seat at the facility there in Davie. I would guess, I don't know, a couple few thousand, but the seats were basically full today, full of fans, great Dolphin fans out there, a lot of very nice people out there. I just saw one thing that got my attention. I don't think this is cool. I don't think this is right. Grown man. 40-year-old man, let's estimate. I didn't ask him how old he was, but let's say a 40-year-old man wearing a number 13 Dolphins jersey. So I see it. I'm thinking, oh, it's a Dan Marino jersey, an old Dan Marino throwback. White, you know, looked like a 90s-era jersey. Then I look at the name on the back. Started with an M, so I'm thinking at first, oh, yeah, Marino. But no, it's just this dude's last name that starts with an M. Might have been Montague, Martinez, something. I don't remember. But it was this guy's name customized on a number 13. I think if you're older than 10, you don't put your name on the back of the jersey, right? That's a childhood fantasy thing. Grown man, if you're going to wear the jersey, you respect the actual players. Texter writes in, very strange, that gentleman wearing the Dolphins jersey. It's hilarious. I would have loved to have seen that just for a good laugh. It's crazy. So, all right, in honor of the jersey talk, I will rank for you, and I would encourage others, because I've seen a few texts come in, I would encourage others to do the same. For my top three tonight, top three jerseys. I'll go with football jerseys. Top three football jerseys in my closet, in my childhood closet. Number three, I got to give some serious love. I'm so proud of this one. You know, I've had this for 15 years. Got it when I was in college. But a really nice, well-done, well-made, circa 1985 Walter Payton throwback jersey, Chicago Bears. Not a Bears fan, but big fan of Payton, and also a big fan of his son, Jared Payton, who I got to know a little bit at UM. Nice guy, great family. Would have loved to have known Walter Payton before he passed, but I do have a Chicago Bears 85 Walter Payton throwback. Very proud of it. For my number two, very proud of this one. Didn't customize it with my own last name. Kept the original on there. I've got a throwback jersey, circa 1984, white, Miami Dolphins, number 13, Dan Marino. Although it did have a hand-washing mishap, it's not what it used to be. Really nice throwback jersey. Very proud of that one. I wore that to a few Dolphin games in my day. Love the Dan Marino throwback. And then my number one, I had to go with sheer randomness for this one. And I've probably mentioned this on the air a couple of times over the last several years because this is hanging in my childhood closet right now. It's really not something you should be bragging about, but it's so weird because I support when people have random, obscure jerseys, right? And back in 2005, you remember in 05, you know, that was Saban's first year. And the Dolphins had that that six-game winning streak to end the season. Gus Frerotte played well at quarterback that year, then was never to be seen again after that because they signed Dante Culpepper, who sucked, but Joey Harrington started a lot of the games the following year. But in 05, that was Gus Frerotte's shining moment. And this was, I guess it was a couple weeks after Hurricane Katrina, you know, ravaged New Orleans. And there was a charity auction for some Miami Dolphins game-worn merchandise. You know, the proceeds would benefit Hurricane Katrina victims. And I'm a Dolphins geek and a jersey geek at the time, 05, I'm in college. And I hear that one of the items available is a game-worn autographed Gus Frerotte jersey. And for some reason, that got me super excited. And I had the winning bid of, I don't know, $120. Not that high for a game-worn jersey, but pretty high for a Gus Frerotte jersey. But I ended up winning this bid, and I get this Gus Frerotte jersey, autographed game-worn jersey. And, yeah, I never bothered to get it framed because it's a Gus Frerotte jersey. I got to go through that effort. But I was obsessed with the idea of acquiring a game-worn autographed Miami Dolphins jersey, and Gus Frerotte was having a pretty good run at the time, that in my childhood closet, hanging to this day. And for the life of me, I can't even, was he number 11? I can't even remember the number he wore. Number 8, maybe? I'll have to look it up because I haven't looked at this jersey in years. But I've got a game-worn, autographed Gus Frerotte jersey that I paid $120 for and never looked at ever again. But it's for the collection. You take one for the team. And to be fair, I did, you know, I did donate that money. The money was donated to Hurricane Katrina relief. So I did something good with that.
You want
to
hear my signed jerseys?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
I got a Dan Marino.
You got it signed. Oh, that's pretty solid.
I got a Ricky Williams.
Solid.
I got an Aaron Hernandez.
Well, let's not go bragging about that one.
No, I'm not bragging about that one. I'm just saying what I have.
Sure, sure.
I have a Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
And then I have a tons of mini helmets and stuff, but of old Dolphin players. I'm Jim Kick.
Mm.
I got one of Scott, Manny Fernandez.
Jake Scott.
And what's the other running back? The one that talked a lot.
Oh, Mercury Morris.
Mercury Morris. There we go, him.
I love how soon, because at first you said, who's the other running back? I'm like, what do you mean the other? There's been a lot of running backs. But then you say the one that talks a lot. Oh, yeah, Mercury Morris. That's how you know
Mercury
immediately.
Morris, number 22, yep.
Yeah. Texter writes in, my favorite jersey was Ronnie Cicely. Now it's T.Y. Hilton. Oh, it's the FIU troll. And yet when I said you shouldn't wear a jersey customized with your last name on it when you're past the age of 10, Texter wrote in, man law. Let's make it a man law. Because to me, if you get the jersey customized with your own last name, you do that when you're a child because it's like a childhood fantasy. I want to play for the team. But when you're a grown man and you know that's no longer possible, you don't live that fantasy. You buy a jersey, that's fine, but not with your own last name on there, man. Oh, man. How the hell do you put Gus Frerotte in the same top three with Marino and Peyton? You should be drug tested immediately. I had to include that one. I had to include the Gus Frerotte just for sheer randomness.
I think the fact that it said game worn, I think that's what caught your attention.
Oh, sure.
You said game worn, official jersey, no matter what name's on the back, I'm bidding for it. And it's, you know, it was used.
But it was worth mentioning because you look through, and I should do like a Facebook Live video going through my closet with the jerseys. Because you go through my jersey display in my childhood closet, and you see which one doesn't belong. Because I've got a Barry Sanders Oklahoma State throwback. I've got a Jerry Rice Mississippi Valley State College throwback. I've got a Dan Marino Pittsburgh Pitt Panthers throwback. Dan Marino Pro Dolphins throwback. I've got a Troy Aikman UCLA throwback. I've got a Junior Seau USC throwback. I've got a Bernie Kosar and Jim Kelly Miami Hurricanes throwbacks. And then I've got a Gus Frerotte game-worn jersey. Like, that's the one that doesn't belong. Top three jerseys, Texter writes. Wade, Marino, and Jeremiah Bell. See, I like the fact that, what was he, number 37, YB? I like Jeremiah Bell. It's some good years in a Dolphins uniform. Right? I mean, that one doesn't, like, stand out the way that the obvious, the Dwayne Wade and the Marino does, but I'm glad you're proud of your Jeremiah Bell. Let's talk to Gordon in Miami. What's up, Gordo?
You know, the only two jerseys I ever purchased was Ronnie Cicely, number 4 for the Heat, way, way, way back.
I wish I had a Cicely, because a lot of people have texted in that they have Cicely's. I missed that one. I did have, at some point, I think the oldest Heat jersey I ever had way back in the day was...
Maury Sparrow?
No, not even that old, because I didn't start getting jerseys till like the mid '90s. I had a Timmy Hardaway and an Alonzo, but I never went back to the late '80s or early
'90s. Tim Hardaway still will go down as my favorite Heat player of all time.
Yeah, I love him. I mean, not my favorite of all time, but he's up there.
All time. I mean, he's my all time favorite. I tell you why. It's like, you know, those Heat teams were my favorite. Just even though we lost the Knicks and stuff, it's just because the intensity of basketball and how we never experienced anything like that before. You know what I mean? So it was like, those are the great years of Dan Marley. I mean, as much as the LeBron years were great and the Shaq and the Wade, to me, the most fun I ever had was just because I guess, you know, it was the time that we just, you know, we really got on the basketball map was, you know, that's Tim Hardaway, Chris Gatling, you know, Clarence Weatherspoon. I mean, we could go down the list.
Yeah, and then when they actually got by the Knicks, and even though they lost to the Bulls in 5 in that Eastern Conference final, like I felt like they'd won something. Like when they got there, even to get shellacked by the Bulls, like I felt like that team was on the map.
So, and then the other jersey that I had was when they did the 75th anniversary, I had a Marino jersey. But I bought that jersey when I was in college because I was up in school at Boston. For college, and you know, so it was great to go up there, and I was, you know, I was a big Dolphin fan, and you know, I'd go to the Patriot Dolphin games and stuff like that, or whatever. But I mean, like after college, you should not be wearing a jersey.
That's when I stopped because I talk about all these jerseys. I talk about all these jerseys I bought in college. I haven't worn a jersey since, maybe to a couple of games, but not really.
It's like, come on. I mean, those are for like teenagers and college kids, and then once you graduate from college. I mean, you should not be wearing a jersey anymore. It's just so douchey, you know?
Yes, I do know.
Isn't it? I mean, it's like to watch these older men, like, wearing jerseys. I'm like,
he's right.
Get a life. You know?
That's right. You should see how angry my producer, Manny, because he wears a jersey like 4 days a week. He's so mad right
now. How old is he?
What are you, 28?
I am 29. And
29?
By the way, Gordon, first of all, hold on. Let me finish. Hold on. The soccer jerseys nowadays, they look like a dress-up shirt. That's what I mainly wore more. But I do agree with football and basketball ones that older guys wear. I think it looks ridiculous.
Well, but here's the thing. Let me get this in quickly here because,
okay.
Yeah, like soccer jerseys. Like
They're more buttoned up. And they
like are,
a dress
but here's the problem. They all have those sponsors written over. Like, that's not classy.
Yeah, but aren't all the NBA jerseys going to have sponsorships, too?
Yeah, they are.
Hey, real quickly, speaking of NBA, I guess all this Kyrie Irving thing is done for a while. Yeah, it's all quiet now.
It'll pick up. It'll pick up in the coming weeks because Cleveland's sitting back trying to get the best offer.
What's the record for the Dolphins this year? 10-6 again?
Yeah, I'm going 10-6.
I mean, can't they do better than that, or is it just the record? Just the schedule is too tough.
Yeah,
or?
Tougher schedule, and they're probably going to lose to New England twice this year. What's going to hold them back.
So fine, but shouldn't we beat Buffalo twice and the Jets twice?
Well, we did last year. We swept both of those teams, but we got swept by New England. I think the same thing will happen this year.
This wide receiver going to do anything this year? I hear all this talk about this wide receiver, Devontae Parker, looks great, whatever. I mean, can he do it in a game? Let me just say that. I listen to Joe Rose, listen to all these guys talking about Devontae Parker's this and that. I don't even care what he does in the preseason. I want it in the regular season. I'm tired of all this excitement about a guy while we're still in training camp. I don't think we should be talking about any of these players until the regular season.
Yeah, but then I don't have a job because what am I going to do for the next month if I can't talk about these guys?
I don't know. Talk about Kyrie Irving. I don't know.
I mean, listen. Bye. I mean, but here's the thing. Like, I have the access and I have the privilege of being out there watching like 3 hours of training camp every day. I've got to turn that into material. I've got to talk about it.
I mean, listen. You can talk about it, but I mean, honestly, we've gone through this. It's like the same thing about the Hurricanes. It's like everyone's talking about how they're back and this and that. They can't be back if they don't have a quarterback. You can have all the great players you want. They don't have a guy who can throw the football. So until they have a quarterback, and it may take this year to figure it out, they're not back yet until they have a quarterback. So stop saying they're back because they're not. They don't have anyone yet.
All right, man. I appreciate the call.
Bye.
See you, Gordo. Always the ray of sunshine. I love him, though.
So you said a soccer jersey is good, but as long as it doesn't have the sponsorship?
Well, but here's the thing. Like, it would be good except for the sponsorship because it looks really cheesy. You know, okay, so the soccer jerseys, they're nicely cut and they got the sleeves.
Because you can get one without the name and the number of nobody in the back. That's why I'm saying.
Okay, if you get one that's blank. Because if you walk into the Applebee's and you're wearing, I don't know why I threw that out there as an example. If you walk into the Applebee's, and you're wearing this soccer jersey.
You mean Chili's, right?
Sure. But then it's got like Fly Emirates written across the center of it. It looks corny.
Of course you had to say Fly Emirates.
At least represent like a classy Italian tire company. Like
Pirelli.
Pirelli. Like if the jersey says Pirelli on the front and you've got those nice looking blue and black vertical stripes, then maybe you can get into to the Applebee's and look decent. But not if you're wearing like the cheesy Fly Emirates sponsor.
By the way, do you know that Manchester United sponsor is Chevy?
Yes, I did, which is weird. Because the American car company is sponsoring, you know, the all-time most iconic British soccer team. It makes no sense. That's why you have to respect Inter Milan. Italian soccer team represented by an Italian tire company. That's the way you do it. It's classy. Texture says, are you saying no jerseys at games? No, games are the one place or one of the few places that jerseys are absolutely okay. I have no problem with that. You show up to a Heat game with a Heat jersey, Dolphins game, Dolphins jersey, Canes game, Canes jersey. Fine. No problem. Even if you're going to a watch party for your team and you wear the jersey, it's acceptable. It's within the context of sports. I just don't think you show up to dinner. I don't think you show up to the Starbucks wearing the jersey. If it's not in the context of a sporting event, it's not a good look. 9 o'clock hour coming up here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.